Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Color Your Life Happy for Monday, July 18th, 2011. I'm your host, Flora Brown, coming to you from Anaheim, California. Today's show will inform, inspire, and encourage you. In a moment, we will begin today's episode, How to Ask for What You Want So You Get It, with my guest, Janet Williams, author, speaker, and consultant. But first, I'd like to welcome all of you, my listeners. Now, whether you're listening live on the phone or you're on the website or over there in the chat room, or maybe you're listening to the show from the archives later, I'm still honored to have all of you make space in your schedule to join us. Now, if you enjoy the show, don't keep it a secret. Tell other people about it who could benefit. Thanks to modern technology, there are many ways to do that. So over on my show page, blogtalkradio.com/Flora Brown, right under my photo, they give you a number of ways to keep up with the show. The main one is the follow button. If you click that, you will get an announcement and a reminder in your email each show. And there's a little button that looks like an envelope. You click that, and it gives an email sends me an email message. There are a bunch of other ways to contact me there. If you're over on Facebook, you're going to be getting an events announcement, especially if you are one of my fans over there. So decide how you want to stay in touch and do just that so you don't miss any of the shows. Now, some of you have always wanted to write a book, but you hesitated because you didn't know how to get started. Or maybe you're one of those people who has been writing pages and pages for months, maybe even years, I dare say even decades in some of your cases, but you don't know how to get that book published. If this sounds like you, I'd like to invite you to my live workshop, if you're in Southern California somewhere, How to Write Your Nonfiction Book in 90 Days, even if you're an ordinary person and hated high school English. In this workshop, I will show you how to go from choosing your title to getting your book written quickly and marketed effectively. Most important in this workshop, I'm going to tell you some ways you can begin to earn money from your book even before it's finished. The next workshop, is Thursday, July 28th from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., Fullerton, California. We're going to be at Cal State Fullerton campus in the Titan Student Union. Go over to abookin90days.com and get information there about this workshop. Now, I know what you're thinking. Some of you aren't in Southern California, and you're saying, oh, no, how can I participate? When you go over to abookin90days.com, you will also see a home study version of this course that you can purchase and instantly download. So there, I have you covered, not to worry. Now, in the live workshop, space is limited, and that's no joke. Space is limited, so sign up today. Now, on this radio show, Color Your Life Happy, we talk about ways to create the lasting happiness you deserve in all areas of your life. Each week, I interview guests from fields such as self-help, spiritual journeys, relationships, change in adversity, parenting. A lot of us need to learn about parenting, wealth creation, career, you name it, all of those things that contribute to lasting happiness. Today's episode is How to Ask for What You Want So You Get It, with my guest, author and speaker Janet F. Williams. Now, Janet is also a business owner and a high-end retail sales professional. As a consultant, she offers sales training and coaching for personal and professional development. She has written fiction and nonfiction books, sales materials, articles for print and on the web. Her book, You Don't Ask, You Don't Get, was named Best Specialized Instruction Book of 2010, a top 10 pick by premier reviewer Kirkus Discoveries. It is my pleasure to welcome to the show today Janet Williams. Hi, Janet.
Hi, Flora.
How are you today?
I'm just great. I really appreciate you having me on your show.
Well, I appreciate you making time to be on the show because I know you're a busy lady. So let's jump right in and find out what prompted you to write You Don't Ask, You Don't Get. I like that title.
Well, yeah, I didn't invent the title, but it's certainly true. I'm a sales professional, and when I tell stories about my work or even in my own personal life, people would say, I can't believe you asked for that, or I can't believe you got that. And it made me realize that I've developed a way to ask that helps me get what I'm after, and I wanted to share that information. In fact, you reminded me of a fun little story, the You Don't Ask, You Don't Get, is what we used to say at one of the places that I used to work in the car business, and it mm-hmm. applied to the customers as much as it did to we employees. Because it was true. It was a two-way street. There was a negotiating process going on, and both sides would have to ask for what they wanted before a deal would actually happen.
I think that's so important, especially with consumers, to recognize that much is up for negotiation and that we aren't victims to whatever the retailer is offering. We certainly have the option of not buying, but we also have the option of asking for what is going to make that deal sweet for us, right?
Well, yes, and the problem is that not everyone asks for what they want. Some people are just naturally hesitant or shy or even fearful. They may have been taught not to ask. Some people think it's impolite to ask. And even though they may have been taught that as children, I've gotten feedback where the person will say, well, I was taught that, but that's not really what I believe. I believe I should speak my mind and try and work toward my own benefit here. And then they don't know what to say. They don't have the practice or the background in asking. And that's another reason why I wrote the book, because it's full of tips and techniques and specific situations, examples, practice sessions, true stories of situations where you can ask, how to ask, and the best way to ask. Because even if you have asked for things throughout your life, that doesn't mean that you have always asked in the best way possible.
Well, speaking of the tips you give in your book, you reveal in your book the 7 motivations that people have for giving you what you want. Could you tell us about some of those motivations?
Yes, I'd love to. These are the 7 motivations. I'm going to list what they are, and then I'm going to go into some detail so you get a better understanding. And I want to say up front that this is for giving and receiving. It's the same 7 motivations are out there as far as why people are going to give you what you want, but these are also the reasons that you ask for what you want. And knowing what your own motivations are sometimes helps in making sure that you ask for the right thing, or even if you're going to ask, or a better way to ask. And those 7 motivations are emotional, physical and energy, logical, fairness, spiritual and beliefs, personal, and financial. And these are not in any particular order, and these 7 also frequently are combined. So if you're asking for something, typically you're going to have more than one motivation. So in the emotional category, this is anything related to an emotion. So if I put it in terms of, you know, why is someone going to give you what you want, they're going to do it because they like you or they love you or maybe they want you to like them. Anything that has to do with an emotion, it doesn't even have to be a positive emotion. We do things even when we think of, you know, what we think of as negative emotions, and that can be like, do people ask or give out of guilt? Yes. You know, or it could even be something antisocial or something related to martyrdom. But the point is, anything that's emotional would fall under that first category. The second category is physical or energy. So anything that motivates someone related to a physical sensation, whether it brings them food or better health, sex, recreation, exercise, warmth, coolness, relaxation, whatever it is related to the physical. Or I've also included energy in that. If something proves convenient, you know, if it saves time or effort, that would also be included in that motivation.
Okay.
The next one is logical. And think of it like if you have a question for somebody, who are you going to ask? You're going to go to the expert. Why? Because they're the ones most logically is going to be able to provide the answer for you. Fairness. What we think of as fair is not always what other people think of as fair. But we all have our own sense of balance of what we think of as far as, you know, maybe your sister did something for you and now it's your time to do something for her. And it doesn't have to be the same thing. It doesn't have to be equal. And so this is a very subjective category, as most of these are. When it comes to spirituality and beliefs, obviously people respond out of their religious-based beliefs. Sometimes we support one another based on a same religion or just because we want to support another person's efforts. And a belief system doesn't have to be religious. It can be spiritual or not in that category, just our own sense of ethics and morality. For example, I like to support businesses who I think have good ethics, and I want them to stay in business. So that would fall under that motivation. Personally, we all have our own goals. We have our career aspirations. We have things that we do based on what we've taken on as our own personal responsibilities. That's what's going to fall into that personal category. And then financial, that's an easy one for people to comprehend because so many of our interactions are based on money, but it doesn't have to be money. It could be anything of value. So it could be another material good. It could be a service that you provide. So when we think of giving and receiving, pretty much anything you can think of why somebody is going to give or want to receive, it's going to fall into one of these seven categories.
Okay. So go ahead. What's your question? Well, I was going to say, is it fair to say that in the process of asking for something, regardless of which one of these you're coming from, that it's helpful if you are asking from a level that will help the other person get one of these things that they want?
Well, yeah, that's exactly it. The more you can give somebody else what they want, the more likely it is that you're going to get what you want. So your reason for asking, your motivation, doesn't have to be the other person's motivation.
Right.
So if you know the other person, there's more opportunity there for you to look into the background and think ahead of time, to plan ahead before you ask, and ask yourself, why is this person going to give me what I want? And when you come up with that answer, you're going to see it's going to fall within one of these seven categories. And you might find that one of those categories is a really strong motivator from the person that you want to get something from. And, yes, that's what you want to do. You want to appeal to that motivation in the way that you ask. Actually give a person a reason to say yes.
Yes, you can
do that while you're asking. And it helps remove objections. A lot of people don't ask because they don't want to hear the word no.
So now you mentioned in your book you have some activities and so forth that will help your readers. So at this point, could you tell listeners how to contact you for getting a hold of your book and all your services?
Oh, yes, thank you. My personal website is janetfwilliams.com, And I include the F in there because there are other Janet Williams out there. So I'm Janet F. Williams. That's my little effort at branding myself. And my book is available. You can go to my website, but also to the publishing website. And it's published by Good Day Media, G-O-O-D-D-A-Y, media.com.
Okay.
There's a shop there. And there's a lot of information about me and what I do. On the website, my events. The book's also available at Amazon, and I just got a distributor. It should be available to order in bookstores fairly soon.
Oh, great. Okay.
So, yeah, people who are listening to this archived, depending on how far in the future it is, they may actually be able to get it through, say, Barnes & Noble.
Okay, that's great. Thank you for sharing that. I want to go on and get some other tips and techniques that are mentioned in your book.
Okay. Well, let's talk about planning first.
Okay.
One of the most important things that people can do is be proactive. And what I mean by that is, well, planning. But we have a tendency to be reactive in our conversations. You say something, I say something, we're just sort of responding to one another. There's not a whole lot of planning going on there. We're just talking. But if I want something from you, say, and I know a little bit about you, I'm going to start our conversation to focus in on some of those, one of those seven motivations, and find out what it is, just through conversation, that motivates you, that might be a tip off to me about why it is you're going to give me what I want.
Mm,
now,
okay.
Take this radio show, for example. You have an audience who wants a certain type of content, and you want to provide that content. I have what I want. You know, I have a book out now. I want people to be aware of it. I want to be able to help people with the information in my book.
Mm-hmm.
So when I talk with you about, you know, what it is that you want, it's like, oh, you have time that you want somebody to fill in. How can I help you with that? So I'm going to say to you, I have some information I think your listeners are really going to appreciate and find of value. That's
mm-hmm.
a benefit to you. It solves
mm-hmm.
one of your problems. So
mm-hmm.
then after I've kind of established that as a baseline, then I might go in and say, Flora, do you have any time available on your show when, you know, I might be able to help you out by being on, you know, your radio program?
Mm-hmm.
See, then I've already given you a reason why you should say yes to me
mm-hmm.
Before I've even asked you a question. And that's what I want people to do. That's what I'm talking about when I say be proactive instead of reactive. Just that little
mm-hmm.
bit of extra planning can make a big difference in the outcome.
Right. Okay. And I wanted to say, when you mentioned planning, just in case some people are thinking that you mean long-term planning, I take it to mean even thinking a little bit before you speak. It doesn't have to be a long, drawn-out plan, because you may be in a conversation where you've met someone, let's say at a networking meeting. So you haven't had time to do a long plan, but by listening to what they're saying and figuring out their motivations, then it can help you in asking for whatever it is you want. So I don't think you mean long-term planning, unless it's a big project, of course.
Well, yeah,
right?
This applies in so many different situations, and even just taking a few minutes and being a good listener is an excellent way to start out by being proactive. So, yeah, that's a great example.
Okay.
Yeah, so whether it's your personal life, your business life, if you're thinking about asking for a raise, chances are you're going to have a little bit longer term planning available to you, a longer window to think about what the best way is to present the information to your boss about why you deserve a raise. And your example of you've just met somebody, you don't know them at all, but you listen to what they say. Maybe you identify a need, and you're thinking in your mind, oh, okay, I can see where we can have a match. You're going to get what you want. I'm going to get what I want. And that's how things happen. That's how deals get made.
Mm-hmm. Even asking people directly what they want or what their motivations are can be helpful when you don't know a lot about them in terms of, you know, what things are most important to you in your business or what kind of clients are you looking for is what I often ask people when I meet them in business networking to get an idea you know, where the match is for us. I mean, I may well know someone who fits in that category of their ideal client.
Well, you bring up a good point, and that's another tip in my book is how you actually construct your question. You know, if you don't want to hear yes or no, especially no, then don't ask a yes or no question.
Right, right.
You know, you're talking about asking a probing question, which is going to start with who, what, where, when, why, how, or which. See,
okay.
And that's what you just did in your example. I think you used the word what.
Mm-hmm.
So don't start a question with do you or can you or will you, because that's going to get you to your yes or no. I mean, sometimes that's good if you've already done some groundwork and you're pretty sure you're there and you just want to nail it down. Otherwise,
mm-hmm.
that open-ended question allows the other person to give you an explanation instead of yes or no.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's very helpful when you're asking.
Right.
And
I wanted to get to personal goals and dreams next, but go ahead with your thought, and then we'll get to that.
Oh, well, you know, I was just kind of going to lead into that. We're obviously on the same track here.
Right.
Because we're not always asking for things from somebody else. A lot of times the things that we want are just our personal goals and dreams. And these are things that we ask of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And it can also be helpful to ask in the same way of ourselves. When we ask ourselves, don't just ask ourselves a yes or no question, but to really help us formulate our plans for our own life, those who, what, where, when, why, how questions help us get more detail. And the more detail that we can get for ourselves and what we want, the more clear picture we're able to get, the better visualization, we can visualize what we want, and that's a stronger step toward that getting where we want to go in that process.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Can you give an example of that for personal goals and dreams, kind of the how we would go about asking ourselves questions to help us get more detail and reach those goals better?
Well, we say it's a career issue, and we
mm-hmm.
say, do we want to get a job as an accountant? And, you know, you're asking yourself, do I want to be an accountant? And that's a yes or no question. But
mm-hmm.
that doesn't really address your motivations. It might be better to ask yourself, what kind of work environment am I most comfortable?
Mm-hmm.
How do I plan on furthering my education while I'm in this current position so that I can further my career? You know, which city do I want to live in? You know,
mm-hmm.
things like that that really help fill out the picture for you, because a yes or no question just doesn't do that.
Right, right.
But these,
and I wanted to say something about what you just said about the work environment, which
mm-hmm.
one do we prefer, is a much better question than just do I want to be an accountant, because unfortunately we are distracted to certain careers and certain endeavors because of the money
mm-hmm.
that we think we're going to make there, but we're not asking all those other questions that go with it, the environment, the work environment, the type of work, the people we'll be working with, what we'll be called upon to do. Those are the important questions, not that job title and that income. That's why some people end up being miserable on their jobs.
Yeah, and it's really better to ask yourself, what do I plan to do with the money, as opposed to, you know, can I make X amount? You know, that's just not defined, you know?
Right.
Like, unless you're just hoarding it. You know, money works for you. What do you imagine it doing for you? That's a better question.
Right. And that kind of points at why some people are quite happy with less money than other people because of what they've chosen to do with the money, what type of life they are building for themselves. And that's why, as you pointed out, the money is not the critical issue. It's what are you willing to do for the money, and how do you plan to have that money work for you? Those are the critical issues.
So these are the kinds of questions that I address in the book. And there are a lot of true stories in the book that I've gotten from contributors, and some of them are success stories, and other are stories where hopefully people will learn from the example, if you get my drift.
Now, I know you included a chapter on volunteering. Why did you include a chapter on volunteering in your book?
Oh, I did, because, well, you don't always ask for yourself. Sometimes you're asking for somebody else, and I think volunteering is a great example of that because I think it's important to volunteer. That's just one of my personal views, and you get so much out of volunteering. Not everyone has done it. They don't always know where to start, and I give folks some suggestions with that. The thing is that once you start with the volunteering, you realize benefits that you never would have imagined until you're actually in it and doing it. You get so many rewards. You know, you think, you know, oh, you're giving your time, you're giving this, you're giving that, your expertise, but you get so much in return, and I just wanted to share that with the readers. Doesn't matter what volunteer work you choose, because there's a lot of choices out there. Just pick something.
Right, and one of the things that I discovered when I was writing my book, Color Your Life Happy, I was reading about the research that's being done on happiness, and one of the things that they discovered about people who report themselves as being happy is that they often are helping and giving to other people in some way, shape, or form. They are very open to that.
Yeah, and this book is all about giving and receiving. You just don't have one without the other, and you have to get the right balance of giving and receiving in order to keep giving and keep receiving.
So I want you to tell, before we run out of time, tell listeners again how they can reach you, how they can get your book, because it sounds like working through the activities in your book is going to be quite helpful for people who want to master this asking and getting procedure here that we're talking about. So tell us again.
My personal website is janetfwilliams.com. The publishing website is gooddaymedia.com. The book can be found on Amazon right now, and you can also get it at Good Day Media. And what I do is I offer sales training and coaching for people. I am happy to provide consulting work. And you can reach me at info@gooddaymedia.com. There's contact information on both the websites.
Okay. Now, do you work with individuals and companies or just companies?
Yes, individuals and companies. I'm happy to work on a team. Or individually, if you need a little assistance, whether it's sales training or personal or professional development.
Wow. Well, I want to thank you so much, Janet, for making time to be on the show today. We have run out of time again. It always goes fast with exciting topics. I want to encourage all of you who've listened in to share what you've learned with your family and colleagues and friends. Better yet, tell them to go over to blogtalkradio.com/Flora Brown, and they can hear this interview again in the on-demand episodes shortly. It'll be there. Thank you so much, Janet, for being my guest. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in. And don't forget, if you're ready to write your book, don't delay any longer. Go ahead and go over to abookin90days.com to find out about the live workshop or to get the download of the home study version. I invite you to join me again next Monday, July 25th at 11 a.m. Pacific time. And in the meantime, I'm going to say go ahead and have a wonderful day, a wonderful week. Color your life happy.
Color your life.